something that you normally, that you work with, something that you use in your hands, you know, that you work with. For example, my tools are different now than they used to be. When I was teaching, my number one tool was my computer. I don't use my computer that much anymore. Not like I did, not like constantly. Of course, it depends on, too, where you are. If you work full-time, if you're at home. And what kind of tool do you use? What I use sometimes, I feel like I always have a knife, a kitchen knife in my hand, or a dish towel, or laundry basket. I wash a lot of clothes. The sewing machine, I use a sewing machine a lot. Dishcloth, okay? What is something that you use as your tool? We all have tools that we use frequently. When I think about my grandmother, I think one of the tools I saw her using the most was her rolling pin. She would make 5 pies a week. She lived by herself, but she made 5 pies a week. One pie always went to her pastor, and then another one she would keep for herself, for whoever would stop by to visit her, and then she would give 1 to 3 of her children. So 5 pies a week she would make, and she always had that little rolling pin. Do you remember the wooden utensils that people used in their kitchen that had red on them?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe your mother, your grandmother?
Yes.
Okay. I have my grandmother's rolling pin, and the red is faded. You can tell where her little hands went, you know?
Okay.
She always used those.
Potato masher,
yes. My mother had the red-handled potato masher. Well, it's amazing. We have lots of tools, and they help us work, and we make them work. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 9, we're going to talk about a couple of people, but we're going to start talking about Dorcas. Acts chapter 9. We're talking about what is in your hand. Acts 9, beginning with verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. We're going to find out in later verses that Peter raises her to life through the power of the Lord Jesus. But I find it interesting, they sent men, okay, to Peter to desire him to come. I believe that they wanted him to raise her from the dead. Else, why would you bring somebody in, you know, that had to see someone who had already died? She did what she could. A lot of times, we believe that if we need to serve God, or if our church is serving God, we need some great new plan. You know, there are people who come up with these new plans of how to grow your church, how to do this. Big programs, lots of money, you know, something new, okay, something new and improved. But God uses Christians individually, exactly like we are. He wants to use us according to His plan and His way. And He uses individuals, which I am very thankful for. He uses each one of us. God uses our task, our work, our ability, however small and ordinary, okay, to perform His work and His will. Here, Dorcas was much loved. She was a woman. You know, back then, women did not do as many things as we do today. They did not have prestige. Okay, they did not have power. Okay, but this woman was beloved because of what she did in her own way. What she could do herself. And the Lord used that. The Lord wants to use us, no matter how small, how ordinary our abilities are. Moses in Exodus 4, verse 2, when Moses turned aside to see the burning bush, and God talked to him out of the burning bush, and he said, I'm going to send you back to rescue my people, to bring my people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And we know Moses started, you know, with all of his excuses. I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. And God asked him a question. He said, what is in your hand? What is in your hand, Moses? And he said, a shepherd's staff, a rod. And God said, throw it down. And he threw it down, and God told him to take it back up again. And we know when he threw it down, it became a serpent. When God commanded him to pick it up, it turned into the rod. And that was no longer Moses' rod. That was the rod of God. And the Bible tells us that. And with that rod, he did a lot of miracles when he brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But God said, what is in your hand? Well, that time he was a shepherd. Shepherds have shepherd's staff, shepherd's crook. That's what was available. That was what was in his hand. Shamgar, the third judge of Israel. Anybody remember what was in his hand? An ox goad. Something to push the ox with to make them go. He slew 600 Philistines with what was in his hand. That's a pretty mighty man to slew somebody with an ox goad. David, in Samuel 17, verse 49, David, this verse says, he put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his head. Saul offered him, hey, you want to use my armor? And they tried it on, and David said, no way, you know, I've not proved it. I don't know how to fight with this. He said, but I did kill a lion and a bear. I will just use what I'm used to, a slingshot. Okay, my boys had slingshots. They had paintball slingshots. They had airsoft guns. And then they started going into, you know, the real stuff. But this is what David was used to. Okay, this was something he was probably a little proficient in. And that's what he used. Tabitha, she was full of good works and alms deed. She sewed coats and garments while she was with him. Now, if you would ask somebody else, how important is that? They probably would have said, not as important as what I do. The Pharisees, are you kidding? No, what I do is important. The scribes, what I do is important. You know, look at this little old lady here. She just sews. Okay? But she was important to the people around her. She used her talent or her ability to bless the people who were around her, you know. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have a talent or an ability, but you can work. That's a great ability, because a lot of people do not know how to work anymore, or they refuse to work. They refuse to put effort forth. God wants us to use whatever we have to bless other people around us. Our strength, we've already talked about serving God, is done with our whatever we have in our hand. Our strength. 2 Chronicles 13:12 says, behold, God himself is with us for our captain. This is talking about in war. He is our captain. He is our leader. And we find that often through all of the Old Testament. But you know what? God is with us. God will lead us and direct us. He'll put it on our heart. That small thing that you think, I wonder if I should do that. I wonder if this would be a blessing to someone. Okay? Maybe that's the Holy Spirit nudging you, you know. God does not bang us over the head. He speaks quietly to our spirit, leading us to do. God is our captain. Verse 18 says, they prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God. They relied on him. That's what we do. We have to rely on God for everything that we do. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 7 says, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. There are times when suddenly, you know, our hands do become weak. I was taking care of my mom and dad. And my dad wanted me to water all of his tomato plants. And, you know, I was in a hurry because he was sick and I couldn't leave the house for long. So I filled up 5-gallon buckets and carried them and watered all the... And he said, don't do that. You know, and I'm thinking, I can. I am physically able to do that. And he said, why don't you put them in the wheelbarrow and... take too much time. Okay, I need to hurry up and get back in the house. I can do that. You know what I found out? Just because we can do something might not be a good idea. Yeah, I could do that, but I injured my elbow. I lost strength in my hand. It was so bad I had to go to therapy. I lost 75% strength in my right hand just because I was in a hurry and I wanted to water those tomato plants my way, you know, and I had to work to get my strength back. And here God is saying, let not your hands be weak. This is a different thing, but we all know what it's like to not physically be able to do something we want to do. But God is saying, no, hey, stand up, be strong. Don't be lazy. Let's get to work. Your work shall be rewarded. And you know, we know when God rewards us, it's better than when any human notices us or rewards us. It'll be better. That's the best thing. We want God to be pleased with us. Amy Carmichael says, when the Lord leads, he always strengthens. I'm sure in your life there have been times when you've been asked to do something you didn't think you could do, right? And probably there was no one else to do it, so you stepped up and the Lord gave you strength and ability to do it, right? That frequently happens to women. Nope, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I can't possibly do that. Guess what? We find out if that's what the Lord wants us to do, he will strengthen us. He will give us the ability and the determination and the patience to do that, because he's the one who gives us strength. He will strengthen us. If he orders it, then he's going to strengthen us to give us the ability to do that. One of my favorite verses about the hand is found in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I remember visiting my grandmother when she was in the nursing home, and she would ask me, what have you been doing? Did you can this summer? What did you can? How many quarts did you can? You know, and I would tell her, and she said, well, what are you doing with the kids? And what are you doing at church? Tell me. You know, and I would say, oh, Mama, I've been doing this and this, and man, I'm just so tired. And she looked at me, and she got these great big tears in her eyes, and she said, I wish I could work. You know, oh, my goodness, the Holy Spirit smote my heart. And I thought, yeah, Mama, you have worked your entire life until now. And she loved to work. She learned to work and to enjoy it. And, you know, that's part of being an adult. And, we were talking about, you know, kids today. They somehow have not gotten that. You know, they have not learned to love to work. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. And we know unless the Lord tarries, we're all headed there. God knows when, but we need to work now while we're able to. I am not a perfectionist. My motto is get it done. Okay? So I think that's why my husband and I work so well together, because he is a perfectionist. Not me, buddy. Let's just get it done. Okay, I'm gonna get it done. You know, I like to work, and that's of the Lord. You know, because that's not normal. Okay, that was something the Lord had to teach me. Growing up on the farm, right out here, it didn't matter that we were girls. Daddy worked us like men. You know, we hauled wood, we threw rocks out of the driveway, we worked on the in the barn, in the pasture, in the garden. And I remember being little, and he showed me the row that I had to hoe in the garden. You stay here and you get to the end of it. And you know, as a little child, you know how you da da da, you know, and finally I had this epiphany. He's going to make me stay here until I finish that row. There's nothing I can do to get out of this. I don't want to be here all day. I'm going to finish this row, you know, and I remember that. And that was like the day I grew up with realizing that everybody has to work, honey. You know, you just go ahead and get it done. And thank the Lord that He takes the little bit that we can do and He blesses it. No matter how small, insignificant, mundane, ordinary our tools are, He can use them to bless somebody else and to bless us in the work. Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Ooh, beauty and the word work in the same verse. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. It would have to be God who establishes the work of a woman's hands. Yeah, because most of our jobs we do, we have to turn around and do them the next day, right? Yeah. Man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is
never done,
right? My mother gave me a plaque one time, and it said, a woman works from sun up to sun down, and the sun was spelled S-O-N. Yeah? And I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. You're right. Mom works from sun up till sun goes down and afterwards. I'm thankful, okay, that even the little bit I can do, the ordinary things that the Lord has me doing, He's pleased. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with me. Even though we're not doing something enormous and something fantastic and something that other people recognize, our Lord recognizes us. If the Lord went so far as to write all these verses about Dorcas and her sewing for the widows, that was important to Him. He valued that to give her this space. You know, we occasionally, the people were raised from the dead. Okay. God gives us this account, and He gives us a lot of details about Dorcas and what she did, and about the people loving her for what she provided for them. Our work may be small. It may be common, everyday things we do every day. But the Lord can strengthen our hands, and He can establish our work, and He will be the one that rewards us for it. Okay, thank you.